Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Grant and Danny radio program is brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad. They will help you to draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. We're actually hitting the road with those guys again this weekend for our second and final Commanders road trip of the season. We're going to Minneapolis.
Minnesota.
We wanted to go to Minnesota because it's considered to be one of the best stadiums in the NFL. And we thought we were going to Minneapolis to see, you know, the Vikings vying for a postseason spot, the Commanders maybe trying to clinch a playoff spot, hunting for a division title. Neither of those two things came to fruition. The Vikings are terrible and don't have a quarterback, and Washington is 3-9, has lost 7 in a row. But I still can't wait for the atmosphere, even though they're not very good. That fan base shows up, they're loud, we'll see the skull chant and all that stuff. And the stadium is supposed to be the one seed, so I'm excited.
I'm into the trip, and Juicy Lucy's my friend. Juicy Lucy's.
There will be Juicy Lucy's for sure. By the way, Friday field trip, we're going to be at Craft House in Reston.
Oh, very nice.
So before we fly out Saturday morning, we're hanging out with you guys on Friday. So Reston, we're coming your way. Show out and show up. We will be kicking it with you ahead of week 14. Craft House, Reston. From 2 to 6:30, live show on Friday.
It is Jay Gruden time, and on air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, Sheriff 150 headquarters, Tedbert Lincoln and Chantilly, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tedbert for life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
Let's talk to Jay Gruden on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Jay, I know it was a seventh straight loss, but last night felt a little different. The Commanders battled. They gave the Broncos all they could handle, went to overtime. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a great game. I thought Marcus played his ass off, and defensively, they did some pretty good things. They stopped the run game, except for a couple hits by Harvey. But they played hard, man. It was what you kind of expect from a Coach Quinn team, a team that won't lay down. They'll not quit. They'll continue to play hard. And came down to the last play. Unfortunately, Benito got up in the air about a 48-inch vertical and knocked the ball down.
The offense, to me, was what was most impressive in this game, because Denver's defense is as good as there is in this sport. How were they able to move the ball, run the ball most specifically, and maybe take a shot or two down the field? Just looked like a different group against an excellent defense, Jay.
Yeah, I think Marcus did a great job. He utilized all parts of the field. He worked the outside lanes. He worked the crossing routes to Ertz. You know, Terry had a couple nice hits across the middle. Debo got loose late down the sideline. They did a good job going against Riley Moss. Didn't have his best day, so they worked matchups, and they worked the holes in the zones. And I think Clift had a great game calling plays, and Marcus executed quite nicely, I thought.
I'd have to look at a heat map to confirm this, but it felt to me like the middle of the field passing game was way more prevalent than it's been for most of this season, and I wonder why that is. Do you think that's a Terry effect? I mean, a couple of those were 19 and 21-yard kind of deep overs to Ertz and beating zone.
Yeah, I think that and, you know, good play design and good patience by Marcus and good accuracy by him, you know, getting it over the linebackers or between the linebackers. Those aren't easy throws. You know, you got to have some great touch and accuracy and precision. And Marcus did that. And Terry does help out a lot. I'm just telling you, you know, he takes two sometimes. Sertan is a great corner, but they did a good job, you know, just working the holes in the zones.
And they ran it well too, Jay. Specifically, what did you see in the run game from Washington that impressed you?
They did run it well. And, you know, I was impressed with the entire operation of the offense. And again, going against people think the number one defense in the league, they actually move the ball quite easily, it looked like. And down the field, you know, bad pass by Mariota on the interception early in the game. But for the most part, they were moving people, you know, and Tunsil on the left side of the offensive line were getting some movement. And I think, you know, the right side of the line was getting some movement. So they were doing a good job, effective blocking and good vision by the backs. Rodriguez had some good hits. And, you know, Mariota only had four carries for 20 yards. But, you know, they did good. It was a good all-around football game against the number one team in the AFC. They look like the better team.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny making some sense of what we watched last night. Are you with me that going for two in overtime was the obvious and only decision to make?
Well, that's why you defer the kick in overtime, because if the team goes down and scores, you know exactly what you have to do. You got to go down and score, so you have four downs to do it, and then you go for two if you score a touchdown, win the game, and get the hell out of there. That's the whole reasoning behind deferring. So, yeah, I think for sure 100,000% that was the right move to go for two. If you kick the extra point, then you got to kick off, and if they get in field goal range, they're going to get the ball at the 35-yard line. All they need is about 20 yards to kick a field goal, game's over. So 100% the right call.
So it's interesting because I am with you that I would go second. I would do what Washington did and take the ball so that I have the four downs to go score the touchdown if need be. But I have heard, I was just reading up on this week, this logic now, where some teams prefer to go first. And the idea is if both teams score or get field goals or something, that there's only time generally for like three possessions in a 10-minute overtime. What's your thought on that?
100% wrong. I coached in Arena League played in Arena League for 20 years. We had the same overtime rule, and everybody always deferred. You want to see what the team does first. If they hold them to a field goal, then you know you can kick a field goal for a tie. You don't want to do that, but you score. You'll have four downs to get it. That's the most important thing. Punting doesn't come into play. So you have an extra down to figure out what you have to do. And if they score a touchdown, then you go down and score and do what Washington did, go for two and win the game. So I am on board with what Washington did, and if I were coaching, I would do that every single time. It cost the 49ers the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. They went first. They kicked the field goal, and Chiefs came down, scored a touchdown, game over.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. So Joe Witt got, I don't know what you want to call it, demoted, removed his play calling duties, whatever the fancy term is, but he didn't get fired or anything. But he's not calling the defensive plays anymore. Dan Quinn is. They've had two games now where, again, I understand they're not playing the 99 Rams or anything, but defensively, they just looked better in all facets, whether it's tackling, you know, making things a little bit less easy on the opponents, et cetera. What have you seen specifically from this defense, and why do you think it's playing better here these last couple weeks?
I don't have a reason for that, really. You know, I think the interior guys are playing better. Jerron Payne showed up and had a nice game last night. You know, they're getting decent coverage. You know, you think Lattimore being out, they'd struggle on the outside, but they did a good job against the speed of Mims and the speed of Franklin. They didn't really have an impact of the game. Sutton had a nice touchdown on the scramble play, but they're covering pretty good. They're changing up their intent on what they're doing coverage-wise. They're mixing up zone and man very well, confusing the quarterbacks. They're getting just enough heat to make the quarterback uncomfortable. So I think he's done a great job calling plays and changing up his coverages, man, zone, and what type of zones he's playing. So that always is very, very important. And if you do change it up, you got to have a decent four-man rush. And they got some decent pressure last night. Not great pressure, but good enough pressure to make Bo Nix uncomfortable.
Based on how things have trended, I would think, you know, if you're running the team at the end of the year, you tell them, hey, we're going to have somebody else calling plays next year, right? Like, is there a path to going back to him this offseason to be your play caller defensively?
I think that's up to Coach Quinn, how much he wants on his plate as the head coach and play caller on defense. And I think this is a good test for him. I know he's been a head coach before in Atlanta. I'm not sure if he called defenses in Atlanta, but, you know, it's all Coach what he feels comfortable with. And or if he has a play caller that he has in mind that's going to be on the streets. And it'll be 7 or 8 coaches are going to be fired this year in the NFL again, so there's going to be some good coordinators available. So if he finds a coordinator that he likes that calls plays, he'll probably do it. Otherwise, I think he'll do it himself again.
How hard is that to both call plays and manage all the logistics of, you know, timeouts and game stuff?
I think defensively probably not quite as hard as offense. I hate to say that just because I'm an offensive guy, but it's very difficult offensively because in between possessions too, you got to be involved in hey, man, this is what we're seeing. This is the blitz we got. We got to pick it up here. We got to make sure we audible here. Here's where your read should have been, blah, 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 blah. And then there's a game going on. Hey, coach, you want to challenge this play? It becomes very difficult to really handle your responsibilities as a coordinator and head coach at the same time. Not many people do it, but it's a lot of guys do it and are very, very successful. But it is difficult.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny. With the loss, the Commanders now have the sixth pick in the draft this coming year. If there are some studs staring them in the face, would you be inclined to just take either a wide receiver or some game-changing defensive presence if that's how you evaluate it? Or do you think because they had the fewest picks of any team last year and they're in line to have the fewest picks again this year in the first four rounds, do you think they have to trade back?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it depends on the stud. It really does. I think if there's a lot of drafts, there's only seven or eight really, really good players. If there's only seven or eight really good players that can have immediate impact on your team, then I keep it. But if it's kind of like a hodgepodge mix, or maybe you're not sure that's a tackle, he's pretty good, or a defensive lineman, then I probably trade back. But if there's a guy I'm in love with, I'm taking him without a doubt.
Jay, a lot of the young guys from last year aren't really getting large roles. Ben Sinnott didn't have a target yesterday, even though they targeted tight ends 16 times. You go through what Johnny Newton's losing snaps to a lot of veterans. I understand he may not be playing that great. And I'm not saying, I know football's different than other sports in terms of tanking or whatever, but wouldn't you be able to work those guys in at least a little bit at this point? Or don't you think that's what they should be doing to some degree? Like, I'm not saying, again, you give Ben Sinnott Ertz's target share. He got 13 targets. You can't throw two of those, a little screen or something, to the guy that you drafted in the second round last year to try to see what you have here down the stretch as you've already, solidified a losing season? Just give me your thoughts there.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. I just, unless Ben has just been a total disappointment in practice and he's not doing very well catching the ball, running routes and blocking. You don't want to put your team in harm's way, to try to develop a player who's not playing very good. So he's got to earn his reps and he's got to earn them in practice. He's got to do a good job in practice, make sure he knows his assignments. And when he's asked to do something on scout team, make big plays on scout teams to show that, hey, I deserve some more reps. Right now, I think the reason he's not playing is Zach is playing pretty good and probably Ben hasn't cracked the door open with his ability to earn some reps. So it goes both ways, but I do think at some point they got to try to get him in there, see what he has. And some guys actually perform better on game day than they do in practice. So you got to see what kind of guy you have in Ben Sinnott. I think, you get him some reps.
Former Washington head coach Jay Gruden here on Grant and Danny. So Shefty came out with a report on Sunday morning, something to the effect of, hey, don't forget Jaden Daniels was limited in practice all week, still hasn't been cleared for contact. Not a guarantee he plays against the Vikings. I felt like that was a little bit of a hedge that maybe we don't see him in Minnesota, which we'll get into later in the show. But my question to you as a coach is, if he's cleared for contact like Wednesday this week, is that an okay trajectory for him to play Sunday, or do you want him to have a full practice of being cleared for contact? Because it's not like you're really getting contact in practice anyway. So is there an amount of days clearance where you'd like to have, or could it happen Saturday and he plays Sunday?
I think it could happen whenever it happens, really. The coach's quarterbacks don't get hit in practice anyway. Cleared for contact is just a cool way of saying he's ready to go. So I don't know. I think as long as he's getting some reps in 7-on-7 and some of the team drills, then I think he'll be okay to play. And obviously it depends on how he feels and if he's going to brace up the arm, what he's going to do with his arm. But the way Marcus is playing, maybe they don't rush him back this week. Give him another full week of practice the following week, and then let him finish out. Let him get the major group of reps against the Eagles and Cowboys when they have to play those guys.
Jay, their first drive last night, talking about Washington, 4th and 8 from the Denver 39. That's a 56-yard field goal. I understand that you don't trust your kicker at this point, who you just dropped someone else for and picked up. But isn't this a great time to see if the young man has grown at all and maybe he could do something right there? And if he doesn't make it, okay, maybe you're aggressive and maybe you lose. I couldn't believe that. And I also couldn't believe the reaction that it seemed people were totally fine with punting in enemy territory from Denver's 39 right there. Talking about that Washington first possession.
Yeah, I think a lot has to do with the confidence they have in the kicker. They just got the kicker. They cut Gay, and they missed his butt. They've had a bad experience with him. They just got this guy off the street. I know he's kicked in the NFL before. Maybe he says, I don't feel really good about this kick. The wind's in my face a little bit. Working with a new holder. We're better off punting here and backing up the Denver Broncos and playing good defense. So a lot goes into that decision. I don't think going for it was the right call. Sometimes punting and trying to back them up Tressway is a very good punter. He's very good at pinning people back inside the 10-yard line. So, I think some of it had to do with the kicker saying, you know what, coach, I'm not really sure about this one. So, let's punt.
Well, it's also his first kick with a new organization. He's missed a bunch of kicks in his career, and it's tying his career high from 57, which he hasn't done in 3 years. I mean, it's not like it was a 49-yard field goal. So I just think, how do you want to start his career? You want to trot him out there from 57 to miss his first kick and kind of now he's chasing it a little bit? I have no interest in that.
For whatever reason, it's always harder. You know, if it was turf, a dome, but that field is hard for kickers for some reason. There's a lot of the, I'd like somebody to pull up a stat on kickers 56 to, you know, 58-yard field goal attempts in that stadium. On that field, I don't think it'd be very high.
Yeah, and on that end of the field, too, which is like opposite where you guys come out of the tunnel in the press box, I guess that would be called like the north level end of the field. It's actually, I would guarantee you, I've seen way more misses on that end of the field than the other one.
That's true. That's a good point. You're very, I mean, I'm impressed with your knowledge of kicking.
Thank you, Jay. That's why they pay me the not very big
tens
money.
Of dollars for that, Jay.
That's why they pay me in single digits. Let's bounce around the league really quickly, Jay, before we let you go. I know you're traveling today. You're at the airport. Want to talk NFC North. I have not thought the Bears were going to hold on to win this division, but not only do they lead the North right now, they lead the conference at 9-3. They're the one seed after the Rams loss this weekend. Ben Johnson's cooking with grease here. Do you think Chicago hangs on in the North? They still have the lowest odds of all the teams currently in the playoffs to actually make the playoffs, despite being the one seed.
The style that they're playing with, absolutely they can. You know, they're going to play in cold weather in Green Bay or Chicago or whatever it is later in the year. And the physicality that they play with on offense and defense, they absolutely can. Their running game is unbelievable. Their offensive line, they did a great job in the offseason getting the center and the two guards that can really dominate the interior part of the line of scrimmage. They beat the hell out of Jalen Carter and the Philadelphia Eagles last week. And if they can continue to dominate the line of scrimmage like that, open up holes for Swift and Milangane, whatever his name is, hell yeah, they can do it. I mean, this is a violent bunch up front. So I've been impressed with Ben Johnson, what he's done. You think of a creativity that he calls plays with, but really it's his ability to stick with the run and run the power running game that really – really knocks people around and gives the Bears an excellent chance to win the North.
How about this? Lambeau Field Sunday, 425, Bears-Packers, 14 degrees expected at Lambeau Field with 10-mile-an-hour winds.
And that's perfect for the way the Bears play. They're not asking Caleb to do a whole lot, man. They're handing the ball off, and they'll do some naked bootlegs and throw a trick play in there every now and then, and they're bludgeoning people, and then they're very opportunistic on defense. Dennis Allen's done a great job at that unit, and they got very good corners, and they got a safety that I think is one of the best safeties in the NFL, and they're very good. They're a good football team, and I think they do hang on to win the North.
Well, Jay, what's going on with the team they just beat, the Eagles? They all of a sudden look like the discord is winning. Usually there's a lot of discord, and they thrive, and despite of it, now it looks like a couple years ago where they're kind of falling apart.
Yeah, they got no rhythm on offense, anything that they're doing. They can't run the ball. They're stuck in second and long, third and long a lot. Saquon's not hitting the home runs, and they're forcing Jalen to throw. And Jalen's not a third down and six plus quarterback. He's just not. He's more of a first, second down guy, the RPO type guy, the bubble screens. You know, throw a slant or a go ball to A.J. Brown or Devontae, but asking him to read coverages and pick up blitzes and all, that's not his forte. You know, so they have not been put in good situations as far as the stick management is concerned. Their offensive play caller is new. He's struggling. Jalen doesn't look very comfortable. The offense is frustrated, and their offensive line is not the same as last year. They're not moving people like they did. Saquon's not having the year, so they're struggling.
Staying in the division, how many teams right now are better than a Cowboys group that beat the Eagles and Chiefs in a 5-day span?
Well, I said the Cowboys are the best team in football right now, and people killed me. I really think they are. You know, they may not even make the playoffs, but I think right now, the way they're playing offensive football, they're the best. And adding Quinton Williams and Clark on the defensive front, totally revamped that defense. And then Overshawn is one of the better linebackers, healthy. He can run sideline to sideline, so it's hard to run inside. Then you try to get outside on the perimeter, and this Overshawn guy's everywhere. So offensively, they're as good as there is in football. So Dak is playing unbelievable. Pickens has emerged as probably a top two or three receiver in the league, and CD's top two or three. So they got weapons all across the board. I like what Dallas is doing. I like their team, and I wouldn't want to play Dallas if I was anybody in the playoffs. That's for damn sure.
The Ravens had won, what was it, 5 straight games coming out of the bye week. But the last 3 or 4 of them, I know it's hard to win in the NFL, Jay, but they didn't quite look particularly good against the Jets and the Browns and a beat-up Vikings team. They won those games, you give them credit, but they got exposed yesterday, it feels, or Thursday, rather, against the Bengals. Looked terrible in that game. What's their deal?
Yeah, I don't know. Lamar's not the same right now. I think he might have some health issues with his knee. He's not making people miss. They're not throwing the ball very good. They're having some drops. He's missing some throws that he doesn't normally miss. And they're very similar to Philadelphia. Their offense is just sputtering for whatever reason, despite having pretty damn good players. You know, they still have Derrick Henry. They got Zay Flowers, had 0 catches last week. They're not getting people involved in the offense. There's no big playability for them. So everything is hard for them on offense right now, and they have to change it. They got to manufacture some big plays somehow to get some juice back in their offense because defensively I don't think they can hold up.
We've talked to you about the Panthers over the last few weeks and just how not fun they are to play. But how about the win they pulled off against the Rams, 31-28, to get to 7-6? The Rams came in maybe the best, certainly the hottest team in the NFL. They picked off Matt Stafford twice. Bryce Young throws for a couple hundred yards and 3 touchdowns. I don't know if Carolina gets in or not, but the way they run the ball and as opportunistic as they are on the back end defensively, man, that's a team that jumps up on people.
Yeah, and they did it without their best corner. So, yeah, they're an interesting team. They've been hot and cold all year long. I mean, they either beat the best team or they lose by 30. I don't understand this team. They're hard to figure out. Bryce Young is also the same way. He looks great one week and looks like he's never played quarterback before. So, I've been impressed with Carolina and the way they're playing.
Give me a Chargers scouting report. They're 8-4, but I feel like they're oft overlooked because of that little losing streak they went on. They're getting a little bit healthier. They look pretty good this weekend.
The Chargers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it all depends on these tackles. I don't know what the status is of Alton Slater. I don't know if they're coming back or not, but that's going to be a big issue for them. If they get those guys back, then yes, they're contenders for sure. If not, they're not very good up front. So it's tackle dependent for me, but I know Justin Herbert's a hell of a player defensively. Derwin James, they got some guys that can get after the ball, so they'll be in it, but they need the tackles back to be able to run the ball and be able to protect Justin.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny hopping around the NFL. The Texans are 7-5. They beat the Colts 20-16. If Denver's not the best defense in the NFL, Houston is. I mean, if you don't get 4 yards on first down, you're cooked against them behind the sticks now, 2nd and 3rd. Will Anderson's playing at a level that would be a DPOY winner any other season other than if Myles Garrett, you know, wasn't about to break the sacks record like he's going to. Is Houston going to win the South, do you think, or Jacksonville, Indianapolis still, in your opinion, more likely?
Well, it's going to come down to the wire. I think they all play each other. So I like Houston a lot. I love their defense. I love C.J. Stroud. Nico Collins, the beast. So, yes, I think Houston is the best team in that division right now. Do they have the firepower, and can they hold off Indianapolis and catch Jacksonville? I think they catch Jacksonville, but I don't know about Indianapolis. Indianapolis is struggling right now. Daniel Jones has not looked very good the last 3 or 4 weeks. So if Daniel Jones can get back on track and Jonathan Taylor can get back to his 150, 160-yard games, then Indy will be tough to catch. But if they force Indy to throw, then I think Houston catches them.
Jay, always awesome, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you, guys.
You got it, man. On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Lincoln and Chantilly, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, all home to Tedbert for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
The Colts have lost 2 in a row and 3 of 4. And Daniel Jones is playing with a broken bone in his leg. I don't know if you saw the video Wednesday of him like limping and barely able to walk at practice. Now, they shoot him up with whatever they do, and he ran around and looked normal.
Yeah.
In terms of movement on
but
Sunday.
Still, man.
But he's clearly affected. Meanwhile, the Texans have won 4 straight, 5 of 6. Their only loss was to the Broncos at the Horn, which is how everyone loses to Denver. 9 in a row, the longest win streak in football. But they have won against Jacksonville, Tennessee, and then good wins against Buffalo and Indianapolis. They have a season definer coming up with the Chiefs. This is a Sunday night football game, too, I believe.
It is indeed.
Natty TV. So if Kansas City loses, they're essentially eliminated from the playoffs. If the Texans lose, their road for the division gets really, really hard. But a Texans win, and they're very much squarely right in the mix in the AFC South. They still play the Colts again. They've still got the Chargers. That is a tough game, but the Raiders and the Cardinals after the Chiefs. So likely if they can beat Kansas City, they'll be able to run this winning streak to 7 before they finish with LA and Indianapolis. But it's about a championship-level defense for them. They need C.J. Stroud to have a strong finish to the year, and they can win that division.
Yeah, team that started 0-3, and at one point was 3-5 not too long ago.
I left them for dead.
Could absolutely be an 11-game winner. There's a very reasonable path, and you're right, it's because of that defense. Their losses, none of them are bad. Like, there's not one on there where you go, what's the matter with
Who
you?
Who were their first three losses to?
Rams, yep. Week 1, one-score game. One-point miracle Tampa Bay comeback and win, 20-19.
Yeah.
Jaguars, 17-10, early in the season when the Jaguars turned everybody over a million times. Offense was struggling.
They'd like to have that one back.
But that's an 8-4 team.
Because they turned it over four times, but yes, yeah. You're right.
At Seattle by a score, and Denver at the horn. And those are your five losses.
But even still, the way they're playing right now, I would say... You know, we'll say this about a few teams, but nobody's going to want to see them in the playoffs.
They are on the they're my top. Nobody wants to see this group team.
Like
right
the Broncos,
now.
Statistically are actually the number one defense in the league. And
I'll take that group.
The Broncos defense was the best, but they've been caught by the Texans. And there's three that are better than everybody else. I think Houston, Denver, and Seattle. And then everyone else can kind of fight for who's next best in football. I want to talk about the defense for Washington, though, getting better and Dan Quinn calling plays. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think the interior guys are playing better. Jerron Payne showed up and had a nice game last night. You know, they're getting decent coverage. You know, you think Lattimore being out, they'd struggle on the outside, but they did a good job against the speed of Mims and the speed of Franklin. They didn't really have an impact to the game. Sutton had a nice touchdown on the scramble play, but they're covering pretty good. They're changing up their intent on what they're doing coverage-wise. They're mixing up zone and man very well, confusing the quarterbacks. They're getting just enough heat to make the quarterback uncomfortable. So I think he's done a great job calling plays and changing up his coverages, man zone, and what type of zones he's playing. So that always is very, very important. And if you do change it up, you got to have a decent four-man rush. And they got some decent pressure last night. Not great pressure, but good enough pressure to make Bo Nix uncomfortable.
That was Jay Gruden talking about Dan Quinn as the play caller defensively. Over two games, Washington's looked way better on that side of the ball than they did when Joe Witt was calling the plays. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. On the fan. I want to get into that in just a second. As an aside, though, I just saw on the TV here in studio that the Broncos were a topic, having won now 9 straight. All of them come from behind.
Amazing.
I mentioned this earlier in the show, but they've trailed in all 12 games. Now, some of that is like 3-0, 7-0, whatever. But they are the first team in league history to trail in their first 12 games to have a record of at least 10-2, which is where they are as the current one seed before New England has a chance to get to 11-2 tonight against the Giants. I know it doesn't work this way, Danny, where I watch them in person the one time. We've both, and all of us collectively, watched so much football. We've all seen them a lot. I just, maybe I'll be wrong, but I'm raising my hand here. I don't think Denver's a real Super Bowl contender. I know they're currently a one seed, but they don't give off that vibe to me. Like the other of the teams that people think is a paper tiger, and we'll see them tonight against the Giants, the Patriots, they beat bad teams handily a lot. They play bad teams more than anybody. They've had the easiest schedule in the league. I'm giving you that. But they also occasionally blow those teams out and dominate those teams. The Broncos really don't. They have a game. It was against Dallas before Dallas got right, where they won by 20. Otherwise, they've won by 1 point in overtime, a field goal at the gun, a field goal at the gun, a field goal at the gun, 1 point over the Giants in the craziest fourth quarter comeback ever, 2 points over the Jets when they had negative 10 passing yards. Like, dude, this is their last seven games. I mean, this is insane. The chances of winning each of these games, if you actually do the math,
right,
it's probably like 0.0003%, and they have threaded the needle.
Yeah, the coin toss has come up heads every time for 7 weeks.
I cannot see them in the gauntlet of the playoffs. And maybe you don't have to deal with Mahomes because he doesn't get in. And maybe the Bills are down this year. And maybe the Ravens are down because Lamar's not right or whatever. I get all that. I still cannot see a Bo Nix-led Denver, as good as this defense is, making a Super Bowl run.
I don't either. And maybe it's not fair. Maybe the criteria is too harsh. You know, just these guys aren't necessarily in the cool kids club just yet in terms of, yeah, give them the benefit of the doubt. Like everybody as recently as a week or two ago still going, myself included, by the way, Kansas City's getting in and they're going to the AFC title game. I know it doesn't look like it right now, but there's so many deposits in the bank where if Mahomes is awake and walking and Andy Reid's awake and walking and name that weapon, if it's Kelce or somebody else, they're going, they'll be fine. They're going to win when it matters. And now maybe that's not true anymore. Maybe we have to update our file. I'm still a little skeptical, even after, I mean, it took the Bears being the far better team against Philadelphia, who's coming apart at the seams, but for me to go, you know what? I don't get to make fun of them anymore. This is not a yeah, but team. This is not a group that's been outscored or isn't that good. They are right now. Maybe they weren't earlier when they were eking by teams and barely getting away with it and having a terrible defense that somehow was turning people over. But right now, this minute, that's a good team. Denver's good. Don't get me wrong. They're not a Super Bowl contender to me. And maybe it's not fair.
Okay, so here's another way to look at this, though. I'm looking at the Broncos, who are overweight, and saying, you're not in good shape. You're not going to be able to win the in-shape challenge. But then when you look at all the other teams, all the other kids at fat camp, so yep, to speak, in the heavyweights movie, they're all out of shape. So in other words, I'm saying Denver's probably not good enough to win the AFC, that they're currently number one seed in. The other teams are New England, easiest schedule in the league. Jacksonville is the three seed right now. I don't trust the Jags as far as I could throw them.
No.
I would think Denver beats Jacksonville. It'd be a pick 'em with New England. But they would, in my opinion, they'd turn Trevor Lawrence over four times. Baltimore. Baltimore barely beat the Browns. Baltimore barely beat the Jets. Like, they got blown out by a Bengals team that's not going to make the playoffs. They're not right. That's not a good team right now.
They're
6-6. They're the four seed. The Chargers are the five seed. I've been saying until this week, and I still feel this way, there's a chance they fall out of the playoffs altogether. Indianapolis is the sixth seed. Daniel Jones has one leg, and they're falling apart. They've lost two in a row, 3 of 4. Buffalo struggled big time with Pittsburgh until they didn't and ended up running all over them late yesterday, but they trailed at halftime to a bad Steelers team who's 6-6. Like, that's the AFC.
Yeah.
So I guess my point is I could just look in a vacuum at the Broncos and be like, oh, you're way out of shape. You're not going to win the fitness challenge. Nobody's in good shape, and it's not like the NFC is that different. I do think the Rams are really good. I think Seattle is really good. The other teams have really good clubs in the bag, but don't always play that way. Green Bay is that team. San Francisco's that team. Chicago's that team. But like to say, well, the Bears have no chance. The Rams just lost to the Panthers.
You just saw it.
The Eagles are the three seed. They're incredibly flawed. It's just a wild year. The Bucs are going to win their division. I now don't think Tampa Bay's that good. They barely survived Arizona. It's been a month since the Bucs look like Baker Mayfield's an MVP candidate.
That's right.
They're super banged up. They might get Mike Evans back. I do love Seattle. 9-3, the best wild card team. They're Super Bowl caliber to me with the Rams. I think those are the two best teams in the NFC. But we could go before they
it's a pretty topsy-turvy situation is the good summary.
Yeah, right? But before they dominated the Lions, you and I are kind of joning on Green Bay last week.
Yep.
Now, San Francisco's 9-4 and play with their food every week. the Lions may not make the playoffs. I agree with Jay. The Cowboys might be, outside of the Rams or the Seahawks, the best team in the NFC right now. I don't even think they get in. So maybe the better question is, who's actually really good? I would say the Rams, who just lost to the Panthers, and the Seahawks, who shut out the Vikings and picked off an undrafted free agent debuting quarterback four times. Those teams are really good. Who else is really, really good? Denver might be next on that list.
Denver's in there. Yeah, I think begrudgingly I have to say Green Bay, even though they bother me so much. And I just think it's the play style, kind of similar to what we're talking about with Denver. Depends on how you, if you give them a pass for that or not, where I want Green Bay to just beat the hell out of somebody, right? Like I saw them do early in the season in over five days to Detroit and then Washington. But talking about playing with your food, they do that every week, it seems like. It takes a miracle in the fourth quarter to beat the Giants or whatever it is. You lose to Carolina. You look like you can't get right. And you look up and you go, yeah, well, that's part of their style. They're going to keep both teams in the game. They'll out-execute you. Their point differential is nothing remarkable. It's worse, in fact, than the Giants. I mean, not the Giants, the Lions, rather, who have two more losses than they do. But here they are, 8-3-1, and if they get some home field in the postseason, are you excited to go to Green Bay in 2-degree weather with the wind whipping and the home faithful going nuts? So I think you have to put them there. The Eagles have now fallen out of that category, to me, based on this was one of those, yeah, there's turmoil, so what? They thrive on it, because they did last year. Remember, whatever week it was, Nick Sirianni is turning around yelling at Eagles fans, yelling at them. And then they went on and ripped 15 straight wins, whatever the hell it was, went to the Super Bowl and were the best team in the NFL by far. I just sort of assumed that they'll get right. Now I'm not so sure. The offense looks broken at this point.
Let's go to Shane in Virginia on Grant and Danny. Shane, what's up, man? Thanks for hanging. How are you?
Hey, Commander Danny, Grant, how was y'all Thanksgiving?
Great, buddy. How about you?
Oh, it was really good.
It was good. I ate too much. You know how it goes.
Yes, I do.
Hey, look, I didn't know we gave trophies for second place. I just don't know. Like, we're out here praising the Commanders. Yeah, they improved. They look better than what they did, but there's still a lot of work on this team. They're going to lose out, and I really do. I don't think they're going to beat anybody on the rest of the schedule, and I do believe if that's the case, this whole Dan Quinn and everybody's gone. Call it what it is, and then we're back to square one next year. I hope it's not the case, but do you actually think if they lose out that Dan Quinn is still going to have a job here? I mean, because the Giants has improved. I don't see them beating the Giants. That's the only team that we could think they would beat. But
did you watch the Vikings yesterday?
They could be mini, Shane.
The Vikings got shut out yesterday, and they're undrafted free agent quarterback threw four picks. I think there's two plates to spin. The rhythm of the show is essentially the Monday after a game, we spend the vast majority of our time on the micro looking at that game. And that game for Washington was actually a pretty good performance. It was very solid on defense, and it was excellent on offense, in my opinion, against the best defense in the NFL. They did a lot of things against Denver that, frankly, nobody else has been able to do all season long. 419 yards, second most by a team against them. 85 plays, most by a team against them. Most for Washington since 2016. 8-for-17 on third down, best anybody's done against Denver. 30 first downs, best all year. 143 net rushing, second best all year. 276 net passing, second best all year. So we're looking a lot at this particular performance, and there's a little bit of a moral victory Monday thing happening. But tomorrow, and as the week goes on, we normally look, we pull back like a helicopter, or the planes, the PJs that our guy Shane flies around on, and we look down at the shapes of the ground and the neighborhoods and see all the little houses. And now at the 10,000-foot view, we get back to talking about, damn, you've lost 7 in a row and 8 of 9, and this thing is in a real bad way in the big picture. But I do think yesterday makes you feel like maybe there could be a quick little renaissance with a softer schedule and more health next year, hopefully. I don't think they lose out, though. I think there's a better chance they beat the Vikings and the Giants right now than that they lose both of those games. Now, fast forward, you want to call in 2 weeks and they've lost them both, and now they've lost 9 in a row and 10 of 11 with Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles coming up. We can have that discussion. But I'll still tell you this, Danny. If they lose out, I don't think they're firing the guy that got them to the NFC title game in year one.
Yeah, deposit one was worth, I'm just making these units up, plus 10, that would be minus 10, so now you're back at zero.
Exactly.
You don't. It's not a negative balance sheet yet.
But I think that's a good way to put it. Like, the NFC championship game get-out-of-jail-free card has been used.
Yes, that would, you'd have to turn that in at the end of this year.
If you lose out and then start 1-2 next year, people are calling for Dan Quinn's job. Like, that's where we are. But there's no chance, in my opinion, with him connected at the hip, with Adam Peters, who handpicked him, having gotten to the NFC title game last year, that this year, no matter what happens the rest of the way, results in him being out. I don't buy that. But I also don't think there's any way they lose out. They play like they did yesterday. They beat the Vikings and the Giants, and they probably beat the Eagles in one of those two games. Let's get you a double play next. In 16 minutes, we got those Leonard Skinner tickets for you on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Leonard Skinner tickets being given away on the show in 10 minutes at the top of the hour right at 4 o'clock. We're Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. Remember, we got Ben Standing on the show at 5. Coming up at 6, we'll spin you around the league and get you ready for Monday Night Football as well. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Danny, I know you had a lovely getaway for Thanksgiving.
We certainly did. And if you guys want, we could play the How Much Weight Did Danny Gain. You want to play a little bit?
Fun game.
You guys want to play?
This is a game we've been known to love on this show. So normally this is based on a vacation. I guess technically this was a vacation.
We left. We slept in beds that weren't ours. We were in Scotland, Maryland. I'd never heard of it either. It is as far down as you can go. If you took two more steps, you'd be in the water, as they say down there. I say water. They say water.
So is that a Darris water or?
No, it's, you know, or down here, short of Maryland. Water.
Eastern Shore.
East Shore.
Basically the tip of land.
Yeah. The very edge. Inlet? Peninsula? I'm not really sure.
I had to look it up today because you just kept saying Scotland, Maryland. Like I
was oversaying it. I meant that.
And I'm like, what is that?
I never heard of it.
And then you said it was near King George, but really it's not anywhere near.
Well, because I feel like it was close to the water. And it, like, geographically, it's probably fairly close. I guess it's not.
If I got on a jet ski and just went 2 hours out toward the bay, I'd run into Scotland.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. So to me, that's close. You know, it's close enough. But it's like, I think even maybe with Fredericksburg, if I had to do some guessing. But it's like you got to go up and around. You got to make a Colt's horseshoe from points in Virginia.
I think you're further from Fredericksburg than King George.
No, I just mean even with as far in terms of going as far south. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say to you?
About an hour and 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, like, in terms of...
I mean, it's a pain in the biscuits to get there.
Latitude, longitude.
That's what I'm looking for.
Maybe there's something to that. Yeah, that's a wild location.
Yeah.
It's basically, like, between Fredericksburg and Salisbury, Maryland.
There it is.
Sense.
It's an adventure, because, like, it's half and half. It's really rich people that bought up huge plots of waterfront, or waterfront, if you will.
Water.
With fences and enormous houses. And then there's, like, one-room shacks with a pier.
Are we saying water correctly? Can you educate us on this, please?
Like, if I was thirsty and needed to hydrate, I would drink...
You would drink water.
Oh, he did it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But what would you drink? We would drink water.
We drink water. What would you drink?
Water.
No. What would you drink?
I believe the word you guys are looking for is water.
Matthew McConaughey, his first major acting role, he was in Dazed and Confused. His last name was Blankerson.
You really think that he's going to know the answer to
Blankerson.
That? Blankerson. So you want to know how much weight did Danny gain?
Wooderson is the
That's
answer.
The game that we're playing.
Yes.
So Wednesday we had the biggest, most luxurious, incredible, amazing food drop of all time from Great American Restaurants and Stupid Good Barbecue. I don't know if you guys saw the pictures or videos. Go check it out at Grant H. Paulson on Instagram.
It was unreal.
All-timer. We packed a bunch of stuff up and took it home as well. So you had that giant feast on Wednesday, Thanksgiving on Thursday.
And keep in mind, we brought leftovers. I brought them to Scotland, Maryland. So I had those in addition to regular Thanksgiving
Wednesday
leftovers.
Night. So Thursday, you have a little bit of that in the morning, then Thanksgiving dinner.
Yep.
What did you do on Friday?
We went for... it was so cold. We went to the... I can't remember the name of it. Like the Patuxent Naval Air Museum, because my oldest was all steamed up to do that. It was actually really, really cool. All the test pilots are there. So like if the Navy's going, hey, we want to test the new X-32 radar detecting blah, blah, blah type plane, that's where they do it from. And we went to the museum that's right there. It was awesome.
Let me be clear. That's amazing. I'm talking about food-wise.
Oh.
We're playing how much weight did Danny gain?
Oh, so I walked around them, and we also went for a walk that night. It's the only physical thing I did. I ate leftovers of both the barbecue and of Thanksgiving.
So it was just Thanksgiving leftovers.
Yeah.
But you didn't go out to eat or anything?
No, didn't need to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Saturday, you came home?
Saturday, woke up,
did
coffee
you stop
shop.
On the way home and
coffee
eat
shop. Nope, didn't stop. And then had barbecue for lunch.
The stupid good.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then what'd you eat yesterday?
So I weighed myself Sunday morning.
Okay.
So that's the end of the qualifier. So Saturday night, I went and met up with some buddies. And I had a chicken burrito and truffle fries and some hummus, or some hummus to be more correct. Yeah.
Right. Mariota.
Mariota.
I'm going to say you gained 6 pounds.
Oh, good.
Wednesday to Saturday.
It's in for 6 pounds.
Darius,
six
what do
even?
You got him at?
Lock me in for 8.5.
8.5 pounds.
From over Darius. 4 days. That's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Okay. Ryan?
I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to go 9.5.
9.5 pounds. 5.
I mean, that's an outrageous amount of
that's
weight.
That's a lot.
In 4 days.
I'm going to go a little higher than you, GP, 6.8.
Right. 6.8.
And now, I don't want to necessarily put our business out there, Danny.
Sure.
But just, I think it's important to note. So now that we're no longer co-pair Rouye and co-pair Paulson for the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to do our own thing on our own. But there's no... what should I say?
No performance enhancement.
Performance enhancing drugs in our system. So we were taking these shots that prevented us from eating a lot of food. We're not taking those shots anymore.
In theory, they were supposed to prevent that, but I still somehow.
But it's the worst possible time to stop taking the shot.
Yeah, right
the
now.
The week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, if you're doing a graph of when the worst.
Hopefully, we're going to be co-pair Paulson and co-pair Rouye again. But for the moment, we don't have those shots in our system.
That's right.
All I'm saying.
Yeah, that's right. It's all fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Danny Rouye, how much weight did you gain on your mini vacation?
When I departed Wednesday morning, so I left the house, weighed myself Wednesday morning, came in and saw you guys at the barbecue, et cetera. 310.2. 310.
No, not 310.
Excuse me, 210.2. Good Lord.
I was going to say.
Wow.
Whoa, Danny, what the hell happened?
I made a lot of decisions you guys don't know about. 210.2. When I returned, 219.6.
Oh,
a difference of 9.4 pounds.
Wow.
From Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4 days, and then I woke up the next morning.
So what did you say, Clara? Were you right on the nose there?
Clara's a 9.5. Our boss, by the way, said 9.4. He actually hit it exactly right, so he wins both showcases. Wins both showcases
that
within $100.
Incredible.
9.4 pounds for the disgusting, weight-gaining, carbohydrate-absorbing monster.
But 210's a good place to be.
I was.
You're living a good life.
I was.
Proud of you, buddy.
Mm.
9 pounds.
9.4 pounds.
Oof.
Yep.
We'll put in some work this week. Did we do a salad for lunch today?
I had a peanut butter jelly.
We can get that back where it needs
on
to
Hero
be.
On Hero Bread. The week workout Wednesday, boys, we're going hard.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I fear what this means for me and Ryan on Wednesday.
It's going to be bad. I'm just throwing it out there for everybody. It's going to be bad.
So you were projecting on Ryan when you were complaining
100%.
About the chips.
Yes, 100%.
Because Danny's like, calling out Ryan for having a snack while he's at the job. And yep. I'm like, oh, is this what we're doing now? We're going to critique people's lunch choices.
Uh-huh. He was like, Fatty, that's your second bag of chips. Yeah. And I'm like, it's actually my third.
There's a lot of projection happening there. It seems
That's one of those things.
It's driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. That is your double play. Now's the greatest time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today. Let's give away those Leonard Skinner tickets ahead of the Blitz when we return.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.